Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Busy day for us today. We are got a lot going on. You know, Fox News did a report in the 2 o'clock hour about Joanne Chesimard. You remember her. She's the woman who murdered Trooper... Jersey State Police trooper in cold blood, excuse me, and she's in Cuba. Cuba has been shielding her for decades, and so there's renewed interest now with Trump back in the White House to get her back so that they can prosecute her. And they talked to the colonel of the New Jersey State Police. We'll play that segment for you in a little bit. I thought it was really, really interesting that they went there, and good, they should get her back, and she should face authorities. And the question, of course, is whether or not Cuba wants to be friendly and nice. I certainly hope they do, because I would love to be able to get some of their cigars, but I don't know. We'll see if now that Trudeau's out of power, little Justin, I don't know, we'll find out. But we'll talk about that today. Also, Jesse Waters sat down with Elon Musk and Doge, as everybody's talking about their future. And President Trump, you know, he took out an executive order to slash funding for NPR and for PBS. Now, Congress needs to ultimately do this, but like everything else, this is the first step in what ultimately Congress has to do, which is they need to shut down the Department of Education. They need to shut down funding for NPR and PBS, and they need to 100% absolutely, they need to make the tax cuts permanent. These are all the things that Congress needs to do, and they have to keep cutting funding everywhere they possibly can, and Congress needs to step up and do these things. But when you hear this report from NPR about why pets should have pronouns, why animals should have pronouns, you may say to yourself, wait a second, hold on. Maybe we should keep NPR. Maybe we should keep it. Maybe we should even increase the funding for National Public Radio. You may think that. It's very, very possible after you hear this report about why animals should have pronouns, which I'm not kidding you, is a real thing. It's a real, real thing. And the president spoke last night at the University of Alabama at their commencement address, and he gave the grads some good wisdom. And I have some of that for you as well today. But let's start, shall we, with something I found fascinating. On the cover of the New York Post today, New York City lost $13.8 billion in income in 5 years, the last 5 years, because the rich fled to Florida. Now, you know how the left, whether it's New Jersey with the millionaire's tax or New York, California, wherever it is, they turn around and go, well, listen, you can raise the taxes because the rich have to pay their fair share. And what we've always said is the rich can move. I mean, it's not like they can't afford a U-Haul or a moving company. The rich can move. They don't need to stay there. And this has been the exodus from California and New York and New Jersey, in particular, to red states like Florida. Why is this important? Because in just a few years, 5 years from now, they're going to do another census. When they do that census, what we're going to find is that blue states have lost people. In addition to money, they've lost people. That means that when they reapportion congressional districts, the blue states are going to lose seats in the House of Representatives, which means they lose votes in the Electoral College, which means the red states become even more powerful and the blue states lose their power in electing the president of the United States of America. That's what I'm talking about. The implications of this are bigger than just simply money leaving those blue states for red states. It's people. And people equals House of Representatives, and House of Representatives equals Electoral College votes, and that equals the presidency. And that means that in the future, theoretically in the year 2032, when the next presidential race happens after the census, which would be 2032, you could have a Democrat win every single state Kamala Harris won, plus Michigan, plus Pennsylvania, and still lose the presidency, still lose the White House, if it plays out the way that it's looking like it's going to play out. And it's not a surprise when you think about it. You have these states where they turn around and they love sticking it to the rich. They love sticking it to the oligarchy. The oligarchy, it's what they love to do. And then people who make lots of money say, I'll just go someplace else. This happened in California, which is why they don't make movies in California anymore. They make movies in Austin, they make movies in Atlanta, Georgia, and they make movies in the United Kingdom, among other places. And a big reason for that, nobody talks about it, it's not just tax credits that these states are offering. It's that California has a very aggressive millionaire's tax. And when the actors become millionaires, they don't need to stay in California and pay those high taxes. They can move to red states and then fly back to L.A. if they need to, or fly to Atlanta and make their movies, or go to Canada and make their movies, or wherever else. So Hollywood is no longer the epicenter of movie making. New York is no longer the epicenter of television and movie production like it used to be back in the day either. And when you look at this and you look at how many people have fled these states and gone to Florida, just New York City alone, 130,000 New York City residents moved to Florida between 2018 and 2022, taking with them nearly $14 billion in income. Now, why do you think they left? Now, I know what you're thinking. You may say to yourself, OK, but what happens if they go to the red states and then they wind up making the red states blue? It hasn't been working out that way. If anything, they've gone down there and they said, we don't want to repeat the mistakes of the states that we just left. That's been what we've been seeing, because Florida, which at one point was a swing state, is now a solid red state. There's no doubt about that. People that move to these states aren't looking to see politicians elected who are going to put in place the same kind of policies that made them leave the blue states. They want to go to a place where they can have their money and not have it taken from them and enjoy their retirement, or enjoy their working years and not lose all their money. That's what we're seeing. And good. I mean, that's the way it should be. But there's a lesson there, obviously. Now, as for on the national level, we've heard the left say, well, people can't leave the United States of America. Actually, they can. And a lot of people are. They're called expats. They leave the United States because it's too expensive. And then the goal, of course, is to get them and their businesses back to the United States of America. And you want them to do that because that's a lot of money that's parked offshore, and you want them to bring it back to the United States, obviously. But Democrats are looking to bring back to the United States of America people who are wife-beating gangbangers. So let's begin, shall we, with Senator Chris Van Hollen. Let's start with Cut 14, Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, Democrat of Maryland, on CNN. And why the Democrat Party wants to go down this road right now, being the party that is there for the wife beating MS-13 gangbangers, is beyond me. I mean, I can only imagine what James Carville is actually thinking right now. And I'm no James Carville, but it seems to me like they're focusing on the wrong issues here. Nobody wants this guy to remain in America. They want this guy gone. Nobody wants the test is always very simple. I tell you the test all the time. The test is, do you want this guy in your house? Do you want this guy in your neighborhood? Would you invite this guy to dinner? Would you let this guy watch your kids? Would you want this guy being a caterer at your daughter's wedding? Would you want this guy around you in any way, shape, or form? If the answer to those questions is no, then you don't want him back in the United States of America. And I'm telling you, if you go to the average bar and you ask people, they would say absolutely not. Why the Democrats are fighting so hard to get a guy back who, when you hear the audio of his wife going on about how he was beating her and threatening the kids, you say to yourself, are the Democrats really the party of importing wife beaters? Like, we don't have enough in this country. We don't have enough domestic abusers. We've got to import them. We've got to bring them into America. Really? Is that what we're doing? So here's Senator Chris Van Hollen. This is cut number 14. Take a listen.
There also was a ruling today from a federal judge, a Trump-appointed judge, actually, that the use of the Alien Enemies Act to deport people from Venezuela, who the administration alleges to be part of a gang, is not allowed. What was your reaction to that? And it only applies to a small slice of the country. It doesn't apply nationwide, this ruling, should it?
Well, the logic applies equally no matter what part of the country you're in. And the idea is it's a total abuse of the Alien Enemies Act to claim that what we're experiencing here in the country is an invasion, right? Like from a foreign government. And this was a judge who just looked at the facts and said, no, you can't do that. Look, the Trump administration is trying to dredge up these old laws and misapply them across the board. I mean, they've also done the same thing in these cases where they're detaining students for their speech. It's not a question of whether you like their speech or don't like their speech. They have a right to free speech. And the Rubio has dredged up this McCarthy-era law, the McCarran-Walter Act, trying to claim that these students exercising their speech is somehow a threat to U.S. foreign policy. And it's clearly a ruse simply to squash their free speech rights. So no matter where you look, this administration is violating statutes and the Constitution, including, by the way, when it comes to tariffs, right? Abusing their
authority. Let me jump out of this for a second. So as you think about this now, first of all, he wants you to imagine these students, these poor students getting picked up for their free speech rights. That is not happening. That's just not happening. It's a lie. It's one of the lies that's being told by the left and by the media. Now, there are people who are going to be deported because of their actions on college campuses. American citizens who are students are not going to be arrested for their speech. That's number one. American students who are protesting peacefully, and of course, the Democrats have a very broad interpretation of what that means. Nothing's going to happen to them. They're allowed to protest as much as they want. The question is, does the United States of America have to keep people in this country who are preaching ideas and visions that are contrary to American policy? And the answer to that is no, it doesn't. It just doesn't. That's the bottom line. They're not McCarthy era. I mean, to say that like that in McCarthy era, to try to imply that this is some sort of a like the purges of what we're doing. McCarthy went after American citizens for their supposed communist ties. That was a very ugly era in our country's history, but they went after American citizens. And they would out people in Hollywood, and they would out people who were in business, and they would out people for having communist ties, who were American citizens. It was a disgraceful act in American history. We're not talking about that. We're talking about students who come to this country from another country with a visa to study in our colleges. And then while they're here, they're disruptive and they're pushing ideologies that are contrary to America's foreign relations and America's ideals. And America has a right to kick them out. Just like if you go to Italy on a visa and you start advocating for pineapples on pizza, Italy has a right to boot you out of the boot. And it should, because you're there as a guest in their country. But it is amazing how Democrats want to be on the side of this. It is amazing how the Democrats are on the wrong side of every issue these days. And that's really comes down to the fact that Trump has destroyed the opposition. They don't know how to fight against him. Here's an audio recording of the wife of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who depicts her begging a judge for a protective order from her abusive husband. This is the guy who was sent to El Salvador, the guy who the local authorities determined was part of MS-13, who there was a traffic stop of him. There were like eight guys in the car. He was suspected of human trafficking, of picking people up from the border and bringing them into the United States of America. That was a few years ago. And she's had several different protective orders issued against him. So this is cut number 13. Take a listen to this audio recording. Go ahead.
Came to fill out a protective order. I think it was in December. But I didn't show up to the court because his family, like, washed my brain telling me that his dad was sick and not to do it. So I didn't do anything. But after that, it was like, I would call the police. I have a lot of police reports. And I kept trying to get to the door basement to try to open the door. And then, like, he pushed me. So then when I was able to go outside to get a phone, I called 911 from a disconnected phone. Now, they took a long time to get to the house. It was probably like 20, 30 minutes. So I saw a neighbor walking his dog, and I opened the door, and I was like, help. And then when he heard me, like, he grabbed me from my hair, and then he slapped me. And then the neighbor, like, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to react. I have pictures of the evidence, like all the bruises, because it's not, even on Wednesday, he hit me like around like 3 in the morning. He would just wake up and like hit me. And then last Saturday for my daughter's birthday party, before I went to my daughter's birthday party, he slapped me 3 times. And then last week I did call the police. My sister called the police because he hit me in front of my sister.
He hit me in front of my sister. He hit me in front of my sister. That's what she said. So Democrats are fighting for this guy to come back to America. Look, we have more than enough wife beaters in this country. We have plenty of them. We don't need to be bringing them in. The idea of immigration is you bring people in who will help make the country better. They have skills and they have ideas that will help America. That's the whole purpose of immigration. We want people who are going to make the country better. A guy who beats the crap out of a woman does not make America better. So that's the test. I mean, that's really the test. They use that test today in this day and age to evaluate immigrants. Do you have a skill that will help America, or will you be a burden on America? Do you have a skill that will help that we could really use in your skills and we have you come to this country? We don't need wife beaters. We don't need domestic abusers. We don't need gang members. We have more than enough. We have enough. It's like when back in the day when they used to have quotas on, well, we have enough farmers. We have enough people that can work and steal. We have enough people. So then when you come in from a country, they'd say, what's your skill set? And they go, well, I can, I'm this or that. And they go, well, we have enough of that. Well, I can also do this. Oh, you can? All right. Well, then you can stay. And believe it or not, I know that history kind of pretends like everybody just got to come to America if they wanted to. No, there were some restrictions in place back then. You had to be healthy. You couldn't become a burden on society, that we didn't want to just bring people in. There was an Emma Lazarus poem, but our immigration program operated a little bit differently than that. And if you ask in terms of quotas, I think we've got our full of wife beating gang members. Like, I think we're good. I think we're good. I think we have plenty. One of the Democrats was asked, Ilhan Omar was asked about this question. And her answer to this now, you're not going to really hear anything other than a beep. But the Daily Caller News Foundation reporter, this is Cut 15, Miles Morrell, shared a video on social media, which he introduced himself as Omar, along with a couple of other people as they walked outdoors in their direction. And asked the question about vouching for this guy, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the wife-beating gangbanger. And this was her response, squad member Ilhan Omar, Cut 15.
Congresswoman Omar, I'm Miles Morrell with the Daily Caller News Foundation. Do you think more of your Democratic colleagues should be traveling to El Salvador to advocate on behalf of Abrego Garcia?
I think you should
off. I'm sorry, what, Congresswoman?
Off.
Who should?
You.
Why me?
I'm not taking any questions right now, but here you go.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow, you should F off. You should F off. He's asking her a legitimate question. She's a member of Congress. I thought we were told that Trump was this dictator who was going to shut down the press. And he has the press gaggling in the Oval Office every other day. He's constantly talking to them on Air Force One. He's going out and the White House press secretary is answering questions. You asked this congresswoman a very legitimate question. Is she the brother lover, Matt? Ilhan Omar, she's the brother lover, right?
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, maybe she had a rough night with her brother last night. Maybe maybe last night was handcuff night at the Omar household. I don't know. Ooh, that's gross. You ask her a very legitimate question. Do you think Democrats should be advocating? Should more of them go to El Salvador, like Senator Chris Van Hollen, and advocate for the release of Kilmar Abrego Garcia? And her response is F off. There you go. And I'm just wondering where all the people who are going to demand freedom of the press and freedom of speech are going to start screaming and saying, this is a member of Congress. We should be holding our elected officials accountable. She should answer the question and not drop F bombs on the guy. It's a legitimate question. He didn't ask her, did you have rough sex with your brother last night? Which I would have asked her if it were me. He asked her a legitimate question. Do you think this guy should be allowed to come home and should other Democrats be out there advocating for him? And she says, F off. So, you know, this is what I mean. Democrats want to die on this hill. Go ahead. But you're going to regret it. They will regret it. There's no doubt about that. I have seen it very clearly myself that when Democrats decide to be the party of gang banging wife beaters, they will lose. Trust me on this. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. The big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Go see him today for your perfect smile. If you've been putting off getting that complex dental procedure, call Dr. Mike for a second opinion and put your mind at ease. 856-786-2020. Big show for you today. Dr. Victoria Coates will be here. She's my choice for Trump's national security advisor. I'll tell you who else is on the short list. We get back. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Politics and Pints. Join us for happy hour at the Great American Pub. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be there before that. I'll be doing the show from there, and I would love for you to join us because it's always a great time. And, you know, listen, Politics and Pints, if you miss it, you're going to regret it very, very much. Great American Pub is on Bridge Street in Phoenixville. Enjoy Miller Lite specials. So we'll have a great time together. You know, Senator Schumer said Democrats are united. And Bernie Sanders responded to Senator Schumer by asking the question, what are we exactly united around? I mean, right now, it seems to me like they're united around defending Kilmer Abrego Garcia. That's what it does sound like to me. But beyond that, I don't know what Democrats are united about. I don't know. I really can't figure it out. But anyway, here's Bernie responding to Senator Schumer. This is cut number 10. What are we exactly united around? Cut 10.
We pressed Senator Schumer about this last night in terms of what is the strategy coming from Democrats on the Hill? Do you guys have a cohesive message on how to deal with Trump 100 days in? This is one part of what he had to say in response to that.
Our caucus is united. You know, look at this. The Republicans on this upcoming reconciliation bill, which sets the funding for the whole government, they're fighting with each other. Compare that to the Democrats. We're totally united. We're totally united in my caucus.
What Democrats lack right now is a vision for the future.
I'm assuming you're...
I think that last guy was right. Not the other guy, but the guy was on last.
So, it's not surprising. You believe you're right and Senator Schumer's wrong here.
You need an agenda. Did you hear? You're not united around what? Are we united around guaranteeing health care to all people? I am proud, by the way, that the Democrats supported an amendment that I offered to raise the minimum wage to $17 an hour. That's a start. Are we united in tackling a corrupt campaign finance system? Now, you tell me. You're an observer of these things. How do you deal with politics in America without understanding that billionaires play an enormously destructive role in both political?
So he's not wrong, by the way. What are they united around? The only thing in unity I can see is trying to stop Donald Trump and then defending wife beating gangbangers. That's it. I mean, beyond that, I don't really see what the Democrats are united about. Oh, and Governor Josh Shapiro is united around whining about Uncrustables on his Instagram page. I kid you not. I'm not joking about that, but it's actually a real thing. But here, let me play this for you. OK, so now let's understand that when we talk about the Democrat agenda, all right, everything they want to do at this point is to just stop Donald Trump. That's it. That's every they get up in the morning and it's stop Donald Trump. And then they go to bed at night and it's stop Donald Trump. And they scream about tyranny and they scream about fascism and everything. That's their message. That's the only thing they're united about. That and Kilmer Abrego Garcia. So Governor J.D. Pritzker, cut number 12. This is a guy who wants to run for president. He is a billionaire. So he is a member of the oligarchy, which I don't know if Bernie Sanders understands that or not, but J.B. Pritzker, that tubby, he's got the fattest wallet and waistline of anybody in America, in American politics. He is a billionaire. He's his largesse. He's got a big boy wallet and it's stuffed to the brim, much like his liver. This is him right now talking about what they want to do with Trump. This is their, in a nutshell, the Democrat agenda, cut number 12.
In Illinois, and so those things weigh on me, you know.
Well, let me ask you about something specifically that you said in the speech, and I think this is kind of the thing that got people fired up. You said, it is time to fight everywhere and all at once. You called for mass protests. There are mass protests today.
Yeah.
What does that mean, fight everywhere and all at once? I mean, what should we do?
Well, I think everybody understands that at this point, we've got an authoritarian in office. He's essentially tearing apart the things that really matter to working families across the United States. And nobody's stopping him. And the Congress is under the control of his party. They're all paying homage to him at all times. No one's willing to break with him, even though they're taking away health care from millions of people across the United States and threatening Social Security. So I guess, you know, the question is, what can you do in mm-hmm. that circumstance? And the only thing, in my view, that we really can do on a national level is let them know about our displeasure, because none of those Republicans in Congress, you know, they know they're up for re-election mm-hmm. in 2026. And if they don't know how much resistance there is out there in their own districts, then they're just going to keep following Donald Trump and doing whatever he wants. So we've got to be out there loud, proud, you know, stand up, speak out. And today, I think you saw that all across the United States. I think it's appropriate. It's May Day, but it, I mean, it's May Day, everybody. I mean, it is literally. Yeah, it is. You all, it's time to fight. I assume you met the president. I did meet the president. Yeah.
Now, let's understand something, all right? Let's understand something about what J.B. Pritzker, Tubby Pritzker's talking about here. What he's saying is we need to be the opposition and the resistance to a president who was elected and won the popular vote, the Electoral College, in every single swing state. What he's doing is he's playing to the base. This is the Democrat base problem that they have. I've told you about this, and it's real. It's a real problem. The Democrats have a base problem. They keep playing to the base, and the base is solidly anti-Trump crazy. But it used to be white working class voters. That's who it used to be. And Trump won white working class voters by 60%. And he's going to continue to do so because what they want is they want jobs and they want security. They want to see American manufacturing come home. They want to see the border closed. That's what they want to see. Trump is doing all those things. Now, whether or not Trump's tariff plans work out the way that the president hopes they will, whether or not the border is secure, whether or not he's trying to do all these things. And people see that, and they're going to give him the opportunity to try and do everything he's trying to do to correct the problems. For example, the new spending bill is the kind of thing that would not make me happy because it's actually an increase in military spending. However, he said on the campaign trail he was going to do that because he's putting more money into the border and deportations. And that's where he wants the money to go. He wants to put that money in as a one-time fix so we can finally deal with the situation and protect our southern border, look at it as a national security issue, and be done with the problem. I'm not a big fan of tariffs, but the president now is trying to utilize them to realign the world order. The big story today is that Apple is now going to be moving their production from China to India. India is an ally. China is not. We have to decouple ourselves with China. We have to decouple ourselves from the overwhelming reliance we have on China. People see these things and they understand there's going to be some short term pain. They're willing to give the president a chance to see if it works. They are. If it doesn't work, then he'll have to answer for that. But the difference is, though, is that they're willing to let him try. They trust him and they're willing to let him try. They're willing to let him go out there and see if he can realign the world order from an economic perspective that benefits the United States of America, which I think, if it's done right, will result in freer, fairer trade and will get us decoupled from China on a lot of these very, very crucial issues. We could have more reliance on, I mean, look, I'd love to see iPhones built in America, but I'm also a realist. But they, if we can move them to India, great. We can build more components of iPhones here in America, even better. But getting away from China is a big first step because it's not going to lead to World War III. It's going to lead to China having to open up to the rest of the world if they become isolated. They know they can't win a war. They don't want to start a war. So I think what China is going to ultimately do is they're going to come to the table. They have to. They just can't afford to be out there on their own. They can't. And they can't afford to start World War III either. They surprisingly, I know everybody thinks that they have so many people and they're expendable and everything else. That's true, but they also don't want World War III. If they did, they would have invaded Taiwan by now. And they're not doing that. So what I see happening is China coming to the table and being like, all right, we got it. We understand now. What do we have to do to be nice? I'm like, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe that'll never happen. Maybe the only way that we're going to deal with China is militarily. I'll be an optimist and say that's not the case. But the point is, to go back to what I was saying about J.B. Pritzker, he just wants to stop. Trump is trying to help. Trump is trying to implement these things and people see it. And they're saying, we trust the guy. We voted for the guy. We're going to let him do these things. We're going to let him try and see if it works. And we're going to give him time. It's only been 100 days. It's been 100 days and that's it. And so we've got more time. The jobs report today was great. It's great news. If the stock market closes in a half hour on a high note, it's going to be great. It'll be one of the longest positive runs quite some time. It'll be very, very good as well. People are optimistic that all this is going to work out. If it doesn't, they'll be held to pay at the ballot box. But The point is, if Democrats are just running on a stop Trump agenda, they can't win because they're not offering any solutions. And all they're doing is trying to stop the guy who is offering solutions. And that doesn't play. It just doesn't. In fact, it's the opposite. There's a backlash effect to that. People see that and they turn around. And they go, you guys are part of the problem. But within the Democrat Party base, it absolutely works. Among the base voters who are going to vote for the party's nominee in South Carolina and New Hampshire and Iowa. Yeah, it absolutely works. No doubt about that. Absolutely. But you can't win a general election, though, with just the base. You have to be able to win back the coalitions that you used to have back in the day. And the Democrats are not doing that. The Democrats can't do that. And until they can, they can't win a national election. That's the bottom line. All right, 855-839-1210 as we continue on the show here today with a lot going on. I'll tell you, too, Biden's going to be back on The View next week. Yeah, Joe Biden and Dr. I always have to say that by law, Dr. Jill Biden will be on The View next week to talk about how terrible America is under Trump, how everybody should miss him and how gleeful they'll be. And it's right around 11 a.m. Eastern time, I think it is. So Biden will be sharp as a tack. Since he won't be sundowning just yet, they'll pump him up with B vitamins and whatever else they give him to make him get him through the interview. But here's a flashback of Joe Biden. And you got to wonder to yourself, why didn't they pull him out of the race back then? So this is a flashback to May of 2024, when we were told this is the best version of Joe Biden ever. At this point, inflation had hit a 40-year high. Energy prices skyrocketed. And then he was asked about this. And this is a clip. He was asked about this. And real wages dropped during his economy. Price of buying a home doubled. You got to wonder now, at that moment in time, why Democrats did not pull him out, although it's May. And then what happened in June? We had a debate. And then what happened after that? They got him out of the race. So you see the beginning of the end here with Joe Biden. And it's also a lot about the denial of the economic reality that they were dealing with in this country. Cut number 11.
The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office. Economic growth last week, far short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near a two-year low. With less than 6 months to go to Election Day, are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
We've already turned around. Look at the Michigan survey. For 65% of the American people think they're in good shape economically. They think the nation's not in good shape, but they're personally in good shape. The polling data has been wrong all along. You know, how many of you guys do a poll at CNN? How many folks you have to call to get one response? We have the strongest economy in the world. Let me say it again, in the world.
Although GDP last week was far short of expectations.
Oh, it wasn't. Look, GDP is still growing. Look at the response of the markets. Overwhelmingly positive. Overwhelmingly positive. And one of the reasons why people feel good about it not being as strong as it was before is they believe that the Fed's going to respond.
They hope they're going to get a rate cut.
Yeah. Well, so, but I mean, no president's had the run we've had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. It was 9% when I came to office. 9%. But look,
let me spare you for the rest of this. So the bottom line is this. You can't live in economic denial. You have to confront the real issues. And Joe Biden's economy was a freaking disaster. You know it and I know it. It was a disaster. So the question then becomes, when are Democrats going to acknowledge the harm that he caused and acknowledge the harm that was caused by his spending and his out of control policies and everything else? And they look at what Trump is trying to do, and then they start seeing results like this. So Mercedes-Benz on Thursday said it will add a new vehicle to its plant in Alabama amid President Donald Trump's auto tariffs. The German automaker said it will localize production of the core segment vehicle at its plant near Tuscaloosa by 2027. Mercedes-Benz declined to comment on whether the new vehicle in Alabama was a result of Trump's tariffs. So they're not going to say it, but you know it. We all know it. That's exactly why they're doing this. And that's what the president hoped would happen. Now, that's going to be good for Mercedes-Benz. I'll tell you why. Because Mercedes-Benz, people will drive those cars that are made at the Alabama plant, and they'll turn around and they'll say, I'm driving American. So people who love driving Mercedes, and there's a lot of people that do, they're going to be able to turn around and say, I'm driving the American model. They'll probably put like an American flag on it or something so that you can denote that. I bought a pair of sneakers. I don't know, a year ago, I think they were their New Balances. They're made in America. And they have American flags on them, like very subtle, like on the toe of the tongue of the shoe, the tongue of the shoe. And this is back when I could actually like wear shoes, you know, I'm still, I have my boot on. But anyway, I did that because the sneakers were made in America. I was like, wow, that's great. I'll buy it. They weren't that much more expensive than a pair made in China. But I remember when we used to advertise Volvo and I would talk about the S-Class, which was made at their plant in South Carolina. I remember getting an email from somebody one day who said, because of that, I'm going to go buy one. Like, there's a certain amount of American pride of people when people see things made in America. So these car companies are smart to do that. They're smart. And what they said was, we are getting even closer to the U.S. customer by localizing a core segment model in Tuscaloosa, strengthening our ties to the North American market, where a range of Mercedes-Benz vehicles, including the GLE and the GLS models, have their roots. A spokesman for Mercedes-Benz declined to comment on whether the new vehicle in Alabama was a result of the tariffs, but I mean, it makes common sense. It's a smart, spot-on move. Now, at some point, China is going to come to the table. They're going to have to come to the table. And now they're signaling their readiness to respond to U.S. trade overtures. When Apple made the announcement they're going to move their production to India, that was a gigantic wake-up call for China. Beijing again seeks an end to Trump's tariffs and calls for sincerity. China is considering trade talks with the United States if Washington shows sincerity. China wants the U.S. to cancel tariffs as a concrete measure of good faith. Trump wants significant concessions like increased market access to end the China tariffs. China said on Friday it's weighing whether or not they can do this, and their China is currently evaluating repeated comments and messages from U.S. officials that express their willingness to negotiate with China on tariffs. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. So while the Democrats completely and utterly are the opposition to everything Trump is trying to do, he is trying to realign the economy and the world order to benefit the United States of America economically and to get us away from being so dependent upon China and to secure our border and to get rid of the criminals who have invaded our country. And people are watching this and they're going, you know what? It's only been 100 days. I'll give the guy time. Stock market's going to end on a positive note again today. The jobs report is good. People feel a sense of it. We are beginning to get there. And I think when the trade deal with India is officially announced, because we saw the great reaction after the trade deal with Ukraine was announced with the mineral rights deal, I think you're going to see some very positive results there as well. And my sense of this, like I've been saying all along, is I think the result is going to be freer, fairer trade and a better economy for everybody. That's what I see as the end result of this. But either way, people are willing to give the president time to try. 855-839-1210. Listen, when Memorial Day is going to be here before you know it, all right? So when Memorial Day comes, if you're stuck at home and you got nothing going on, you're going to be really bummed out. Major fear of missing out, right? So book your stay at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. You will love it there. And it's not too early to book your June midweek stay and save. You stay three nights, you're going to get $60 a night in resort credits. Stay five nights, get $70 a night in resort credits. Stay seven nights and receive $80 a night in resort credits. And you can use your resort credits to make purchases of food and beverage at Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand, or in the gift shop where you can get passes for a whale watching boat cruise. Book direct with them for the best rates. The Grand is also the perfect place to host a wedding, corporate event, baby and bridal shower with four ballrooms and 17,000 square feet. You'll find the perfect private party space to make lifetime memories. Just call and ask to talk to my friend Caitlin. She will help you have a dream wedding on the beach or whatever other kind of event you want to have that you will remember for the rest of your life. Always book direct with them. Always book direct with them for the best rates. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
They have glorified Luigi Mangione in such a grotesque way. This new one is a musical in San Francisco, a musical about Luigi Mangione. And this is from the New York Post. Move over, Jean Valjean. Luigi Mangione will soon be immortalized on a San Francisco stage in a sickening musical comedy glorifying the alleged UnitedHealthcare CEO gunman. Luigi the Musical, slated to debut at the Taylor Street Theater on June 13, promises a bold, campy, and unafraid take on the life and times of the man accused of perpetrating an assassination that left two young children without a father. Opening night is already sold out on the official website. which uses the tagline, a story of love, murder, and hash browns, a reference to Mangione scarfing down the McDonald's menu item before his arrest in Pennsylvania. Wildly irreverent. The official synopsis of the musical calls it a wildly irreverent, razor-sharp comedy that imagines the true story of Luigi Mangione, the alleged corporate assassin turned accidental folk hero. Fans have inexplicably aligned themselves with the 26-year-old alleged killer, including a legion of besotted fangirls who show up in force at his Manhattan court appearances. The musical even makes light of convicted crypto fraudster Sam Bankman-Fried, an accused sex trafficker and disgraced hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs. Now, it's gross, wildly gross, but that's, I mean, this is the same party that's trying to get the wife-beating gangbanger back. The fact that they've said Luigi Mangione is so attractive, and you had the so-called late-night comedy, I'm using air quotes here, comedy hosts who are all out there cheering this guy on, acting like he was a folk hero. You had comedians like Bill Burr and others do the same thing. It's just gross. There's no other way to put it. It's gross. Flash those pearly whites. There were cameras there that night, and that's what the police take me in. It's one of the lines from the show. The lyric is presumably a reference to Mangione pulling down his baklava to smile at a New York City youth hostel clerk, providing cops with a good look at him. That's not baklava. That's a Greek dessert. Bala. Oh, he had like a face. Oh, that's right. He had like a face scarf on or something. In an interview with the San Francisco Chronicle, Bradford sought to head off obvious criticism about mining such grotesque subject matter for a tongue-in-cheek musical. We're not valorizing any of those characters. We're also not trivializing any of their actions or alleged actions. Mangione is currently on trial for allegedly murdering the 50-year-old UnitedHealthcare CEO, Brian Thompson. Yeah, I have a feeling that this musical is going to, I haven't seen it. I don't know for sure. I'm not a theater critic. I have a feeling this musical is going to glorify him because that's what the left loves to do. They love to glorify people like him because they look at him as a hero who went out there and murdered a guy who denied people health care coverage. And so you had that Taylor Lorenz who was out there talking about how people were saying how attractive he is and what a hero he is, because he went out there and gunned this guy down. She said she personally wasn't glorifying Luigi Mangione. She was just reflecting what people have told her, is what she said. But you know as well as I do, they think this guy's a hero. They think he's a folk hero. And that is a really, really sick problem for the left, no doubt about it. All right, big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead, including what is going to happen with Ukraine and Russia. And will we see a deal with India on trade announced? Why is Governor Josh Shapiro whining about Uncrustables? All that is straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.